pastors here at the church, and I am so excited to welcome all of you to worship this morning online, in person. We're so glad to be here. We especially want to welcome our special guests today. Many of you know the incredible relationship we've gotten to have with Spark Youth and how much of a blessing it is to have them connected to worshiping ministries at this church. They come and serve on this campus. They are such a blessing to us, and we are so grateful to have them. And so today, we will be led in worship by our Spark Worship team friends, and so you are in for a treat. I do want to let you know a couple of things that are important for today's worship service. First of all, today is First United Methodist Church of Sanford's kickoff of Children's Church. So if you have a child who is in elementary school, that would be 5 years old up to fifth grade, we have a Children's Church program today with Miss Christina and Mr. Ryan. And so if you want your kiddos to go to Children's Church and you haven't had a chance to check them in, after the children's moment, you can head out this back door. You'll see people in the hallway ready to greet you. You can check your kids in so everybody is safe and secure, and they will have children's church during the sermon. Now, you do, for those adults who are like, ooh, I want to get out of having to hear Pastor Megan go on and on and on, you do have to be in elementary school, unfortunately, so you're stuck with me. Yeah. A few other announcements for you to know. First of all, for Spark, our friends at Spark, they want y'all to know that you do not have any programming this week as it's back to school and there's lots of things going on. So just know that in your upcoming week. For lots of us, it's back to school this week. And so today during the children's moment, we're going to have a backpack blessing. Now, if you didn't bring your backpack, that's fine. We're going to come on up during the children's moment. We'll have everybody who's going back to school, all the kids come up front. We're also going to have people who volunteer, who teach, who work in the school system to stand, and we're going to have a time to pray over everybody, so just know that that's coming. We want to make sure that you know that we love you and that we're praying for you and that we send you off with God's blessing. All right, just a couple more things to know. You'll see lots of announcements in your bulletin, but check those out about meetings coming up this week and this month's mission project. So you know this church does lots and lots of different mission projects. In this month's project, we are collecting ramen noodles. Our friends at Picnic Project, they have a food pantry where they distribute food every week on Friday mornings. And one of the things that people ask for a lot is ramen noodles. It's comfort food, right? Sometimes when you don't feel good and you get a bowl of ramen noodles, it makes you feel better. And so we're collecting ramen noodles so that the food pantry that's on the campus here, our friends and partners at Picnic Project, can have that to offer folks when they're looking for it. So if you see those out, buy one, get one free, y'all snap up a couple and bring them in. We'll be collecting through the end of the month. All right. I want to invite you now to turn in your bulletin. Our projector's broken, so we're going to be all paper today, y'all. To turn in your bulletin to our the community statement. What's really cool is for our call to worship, we're going to use Spark's community statement together, a statement that they use in worship and that I think is just so beautiful, so true, and a gift to all of us this morning. So will you join me in the community statement? We are Spark, spiritually powerful and righteous kids. We are a family who believes we are deeply loved by God. Therefore, we strive to be people who accept others for who God made them to be. We will do this by welcoming, supporting, loving, and serving every person that we meet. Let's pray. Holy God, thank you for creating, loving, sustaining, redeeming, and caring for us all the days of our lives. Thank you for reminding us that we are your children. Thank you for being a God who already showed up this morning before we ever even came to this place, and a God who will remain in our hearts, our lives, and our minds even as we leave. God, we pray that as we worship this morning, you would help us in our hearts and our minds to turn towards you and each other. Help us to see your movement in our lives and help us to share that goodness and love in all that we do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
not good enough. No, that's not good enough. Who's ready to worship God with us this morning?
Yeah. I need a song sheet.
That's better. All right, I want you to repeat after me.
Let everything
that has breath praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Am I right? Friends, we're now going to do our affirmation of faith, and today it's going to be a little different one. It's going to be 883, 883 in your hymnals, so flip all the way to the back. We're doing an affirmation of faith that's a little different than the one we usually do in worship here, so everybody, this will be new for all of us. 883. I'll give you a second to flip there. Will you stand as we affirm the faith together? We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. We're going to now sing the Gloria Patri number 71.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Friends, will you turn and greet your neighbor in the spirit and joy of Jesus? For our first reading this morning, we have some new liturgists, some new readers today joining us in worship. And so our first Old Testament scripture today is Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 6.
He Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God and keep it with your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. With that kind of welcome, I don't think we're going to have a hard time recruiting new liturgists. That's awesome. We want to invite all children forward for the children's moment. Now, that's all kiddos of all ages. Come on forward. Come on down. Line on up. Yeah. We'll welcome her. Okay, here. Here, you want to have a seat, right? Up here. What a great problem to have. Yes. Yes. All right.
In worship. There we go. Yeah. It's an honor to have y'all in worship today. And we want to take this time to honor that this is a moment where we are beginning a new season, a new chapter, that we get to learn together, to grow as we go into the fall, as we get into the school year. So I know some of us, we may have like different feelings about what's going to come up next. So we want to take this moment to bless this time, to bless your year, and also to just hear like what's on your heart. Like, so I'm going to ask you guys some questions, and feel free to just like, you know, shout out like what's kind of on your heart as you're getting into this new school year. So my first question, and then you guys can just kind of call it out. What are you excited about for this new year? School, friends, yeah. Free lunch, amen. Amen. That's the gospel right there. What else? Yeah. Learning. We're excited for learning. That's so good. What else are we excited for, friends? Good grades. That's the hope. That's the prayer. Yeah, learning in school. Hey, that's the key. Mo says literally everything. I'm so glad for that. Anything? The bus, sleeping on the bus. That is prime time. I can tell you, there was a time in high school, friends, where I had a 45-minute bus ride, and I fell asleep, and the bus driver did not know I was still there, and so I had to go back, and I was late. That's awesome. And anything else? What are we excited for, friends? Meeting new people. That's a really big thing. That's so awesome. Thank you. What else? Yeah. You're excited for the crying for the homework? I feel that. Yeah. Excited for the stress. Sometimes that stress is an energizer. That's good. Sleeping in class. Sometimes, yeah, we need that rest wherever we have. Yeah, go ahead. The challenge. Excited for the challenge. Yeah. The privileges that come with school. Awesome. Yeah. To being kind. I'm so glad that you're excited for that. That's awesome. That's something we should all strive for. Okay, now I'm going to flip the other question on you guys. What might you be nervous or anxious about as you go into the school year? Yeah. The classes, definitely. We will hold that in prayer for you guys. Yeah. Bad grades and not getting the homework done. Yeah, what about you? Testing might be, yeah, we might be pretty nervous about that. How about you? The unknown, guys, that's anxious on all of our hearts, I'm sure. Unknown, thank you for sharing, yeah. Yeah, hey, no, that's real. Seeing people whose relationships, we might have some uncertainty and people that we don't like, you know, that's definitely hard and trying to face that challenge, yeah. Yeah, scared of a new chapter into 11th grade. Absolutely. We will hold that in prayer with you. Yeah. Oh, yeah, going to two classes instead of one. That's a big, big change, absolutely. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, pulled into drama. That's a big thing that we're trying to hold, and know that God is with them. Yeah, so trying to, make the team and being able to perform in the way that you want to. And so that's definitely something we'll hold with you. Yeah. Ooh, yeah, waking up real early at 6 a.m. for your 8 classes, man. We will hold that in prayer. Yeah, one more. Everybody at the school. I'm sure these things are, we can be nervous for. But yeah, one more, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But that's good. That's like something you can be excited about is getting to express yourself and to share like your inner beauty, and that's so awesome. Yeah, we will hold that with you guys. Well, my friends, one more. First impressions. That's super hard. Yeah. Well, is there one? Yeah, one more. The ramen, yeah, it's for our missions that we're helping to provide some food, yeah. my friends, yeah. So I thank you for sharing all these things on your heart, and know that God is with you in all of those things. That you can hold both all of the things that you're excited about, and that God is excited with you, and also for the things that you are nervous about, God holds you in comfort. And God will lead you on the way. So we want to take a moment now, and I'm going to pass it off to Pastor Megan, and she's gonna bless y'all on your year, and then, I'll let you take it.
All right, so friends, those of you in the congregation, we need your help. First of all, if you are a person who works in the school system, who teaches, who is on janitorial staff, support staff, who's a part of the school system at all, would you stand? You're a volunteer in the classroom. If you're involved in the school system at all, would you stand? Absolutely. Okay. Can we give them a round of applause? All right. Now, I'm going to have my helpers, Mr. Ryan and Miss Rebecca, who are going to hold their hands up. And this is what I need all of you in the congregation to do. I need you to extend your hands, and you're going to repeat after me, because we want you to know what's truest about you, that God can hold all the good and all the hard stuff, that God is with you on the best and the worst days, that you, the thing that is most true about you, I want to see everybody's eyes, the thing that is most true about you, it doesn't matter what anybody else says, the thing that is most true about you is that you are a beloved child of God, you are created in God's image, and God calls you very, very good, y'all. And so today, we're going to extend our hands, and we want to bless you. The congregation is going to repeat after me as we share God's blessing over you. Are you ready? You are a child of God. You are a gift in this world. May God bless you and keep you. Amen. Yay! All right. For those folks who might be taking their kiddos to children's church, you are excused now. Parents, you can walk your kids to children's church and meet Miss Christina right here in the black dress. She can check everybody in, and everybody else can go back to their seats. All right. Okay, churches. Don't ever let anybody tell you church is safe, right? Here we go. Church is a safe and beautiful place with ills occasionally. Yeah. All right. Friends, we now have the opportunity to pray together for one another and for our world. The way we pray around here might be a little bit different. We want you to know that you don't need me to talk to God. You and God can already connect. And so what we do in our prayer time is I'll share a category, and then you can share aloud or silently a name of somebody that might be on your heart. And then we'll close each section with, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. All right? Let's pray. God, we thank you this morning for the gift that it is to be called your children. For the gift that it is to be reminded that you have already called us very good, that you are already God, so we don't have to be, and that you have already met us this morning. God, we also confess that this world can feel like a spinning washing machine, that it can feel like we're being churned and tossed in all sorts of directions, and that our hearts can be heavy. And so, God, we trust you enough that we lay at your feet all the worries, fears, and problems, and we trust that you're a God who not only hears us, but who responds. God, we lift up to you all those who are seeking healing in mind or body or spirit. Everyone who is undergoing treatment, who is walking through a new diagnosis. Everybody who's recovering or who is hurting in mind or soul, who's seeking the next right step in their healing journey, God, we lift up these prayers to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. God, we lift up to you prayers for all those who are seeking wisdom and discernment. For everyone who isn't sure what comes next in their life, in their job, in their families, in their communities. For everyone who has big choices to make. For the leaders in our world whose choices are so consequential. For our country, for our church, for our city. God, we lift up to you prayers for wisdom and discernment. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. God, we pray for all those who are lonely, for everyone who might feel far from those that they love, for those in our jails and prisons, in our nursing care facilities, for everyone who feels separated from their families, from their communities, or their friends, for those who are deployed in the military, who work late shifts to provide for their family, for our homebound community members, and for all of us who might struggle with loneliness, Lord, we lift up these prayers to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. God, we pray for our enemies, not because it's what we want to do, not because it feels particularly fun. We pray for our enemies because you have told us that there is some kind of healing in relinquishing to you the worry, the pain, the bitterness, the hurt that can go along with having been hurt by others. God, we confess that we sometimes can be enemies to others. And in our highly divided world, Lord Jesus, we've got a lot of enemies. God, we know that sometimes we don't have the words to pray for our enemies, and so we trust that your Holy Spirit will pray on our behalf. Lord, we pray for our enemies. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. God, we celebrate all that is good, right, and holy in this world. We confess that sometimes we can spend so long looking at what is broken that we can miss what is beautiful. God, we celebrate where you have brought healing and life, restoration, community, goodness, love, hope, justice, and mercy, where your kingdom is evident and where your grace has reigned. Lord Jesus, we celebrate all that which we have to be grateful for. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. God, here we are trusting you with what is great and what is broken, with what is beautiful and what still feels like a mess. Lord Jesus, help us to be instruments of your kingdom, to be your hands and feet in this world, and help us to be people who say yes when you call our names. All this we ask in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let us now share together the Lord's Prayer, a prayer that connects us to the ancient Christian tradition all the way back to Jesus. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now continue worshiping with the giving of our tithes and offerings.
Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I have held in your hands. The moment that I wake up, the lay my head, will sing of the goodness of God. Father.
And now will you join me in standing as we sing the doxology, Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly. God, we relinquish all the control we have of all of our stuff, our lives, and our will. We return to you what you already gave to us as an act of praise and worship. Take these gifts, Lord, and the gift of our lives. Make them a blessing to others. Help us to pour into the goodness of your kingdom all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. Just then, in front of him, there was a man who had edema. And Jesus asked the experts in the law and Pharisees, "Is it lawful to cure people on the Sabbath or not?" But they were silent. So Jesus took him and healed him and sent him away. Then he said to them, "If one of you has a child or an ox that has fallen into a well, will you not immediately pull it out on a Sabbath day?" And they could not reply to this. For the word of God to the people.
Thank you, God. Celebrate Sloan. This is her first time being. Didn't she do awesome? Sorry, I didn't mean to embarrass you, but you're awesome. All right, friends. Today I need your help. Now, usually in the Sunday morning service, usually we do a little more talking, a little more conversation in our Sunday evening service. But today we're merging a little bit, and so as we as I ask some questions today, I want you to actually answer, all right? Everybody, like, put your courage on, okay? I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to give you a chance to really answer. Okay. I especially want to direct these questions to the young folks in our community, but anybody can answer. I want you to tell me, what messages do you feel like you are hearing around you? What messages are you hearing from culture, from the world, from the lovely commentary of the internet? What messages are we hearing all the time? Yeah. That God loves us? Oh, yes, those are good messages. Yes. What else? What message are you hearing? You're not doing enough. You're not good enough. Thank you. What else? Yes. Life goes on, okay. Yeah. To be good, yeah. Did I also hear you need more stuff? Yeah, to be good, you need more stuff, yes. You can't hide from the love of God. Yeah, these are some messages we need to hear. That's what I'm talking about. Yes. Yes, to love folks even when they don't love you. Wow. Man, my soul's already getting healed. Yeah. To love your neighbor. Y'all must be on a different corner of the internet than I am. Because, yes. All right, one more. Last one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Being powerful. Yeah, one more. Uh-huh. Loving yourself. That is awesome. I need to find whatever. Okay, yeah. Oh, something is not good enough? Not getting a medal is not good enough. Oh, yeah, Olympics. Yes, last one. We are God's children. I love that. So I love that we're hearing some good messages, and I know that we're also hearing some challenging ones, right? We're kind of always figuring out what are the messages that we need to really listen to. On my corner of the internet, I hear a lot of things like, you need to eat carbs and not eat carbs. You need to sleep more or sleep less. You need to wake up at 3 a.m. so that you can have a 7-hour morning routine before you do anything else. But also, you need to be fully rested, right? All sorts of things about, like, you know, you should already own 7 businesses. You should already have your life figured out, right? We can get all sorts of messages from our culture that can be helpful and can be harmful, from our world, from our neighborhoods, our communities, our schools, that can be helpful and that can be harmful. And ooh, it's a lot. It's a lot to try and discern what's true and what's right and what's real. Let's pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, so we are in a series right now on resilient faith. Resilience is a word we hear a lot, but sometimes we don't define really well. Resilience is our ability to ultimately be okay, even when it's a whole hot mess around us. It's the capacity to withstand or recover quickly from difficulties. Resilience is something that we all need in life, and our faith can actually be a part of our resilience, our ability to find our feet steady, even in the midst of a churning world. It can be part of what holds us up when everything else might try to tear us down, right? That's what our faith can be in our resilience. This series that we're in is on building a resilient faith, a faith that can last a lifetime, that can help you remain firm when everything else feels stormy. Now, last week we talked about resting and about silence. Before we can hear from God, before we can do all the things we're called to do, we've got to know that we are God's beloved children and that we get to rest. We are human beings, not human doings. We need quiet from all the noise that can happen in our worlds. And so last week, we talked about rest and silence. And this week, we're talking about worship. Why do we worship? Why? What even is worship? It's a thing we talk about a lot in church, but it's not a word you hear in many places, right? So here's a couple of definitions of worship. The feeling and expression of adoration and devotion. Or the conscious act of turning one's attention, admiration, and heart towards something or someone. Or a surrendering of self to God and to community. Now, I want to start with that first definition, okay? The feeling and expression of adoration and devotion. I want to ask you, you can just nod this time. Have you ever waited for a new video game to come out? Planning and saving and plotting. I know a new big one came out, so I can't remember what it is. But anyway, my husband wanted it. Or have you... Thank you, Joe. Yes. Have you ever had your mind consumed by how incredible a car or someone's house or a pair of shoes might be? That's a little more up my alley. Have you ever become so obsessed with a TV series or new books or a celebrity who is just the coolest? Yeah, you spend a lot of time thinking about the sneakers or the celebrity or the video games. You look up that video game, the reviews, the videos. You like trying to figure out, okay, what are these new scenes, the graphics, all that's cool, right? Maybe you spend your time thinking about that celebrity, that TV show, that new hobby, whatever it is, instead of doing your math homework or your chores, or paying attention to the folks in your household, or traffic. Maybe now you spend your time and your money and your energy on that thing. Maybe you start thinking, if only I had that thing, then my life would be complete. That, my friends, can maybe be envy or consumerism, but it also can sound a lot like worship, right? Expression of adoration and devotion, or the conscious act of turning one's attention, right? I gotta tell you, I take a walk most mornings. If you live near downtown, you probably see me like half asleep walking down the, anyway, just wave, I'm still out of it. I take a walk most mornings, and the walk usually starts with me like opening my eyes to the sunlight and being like, God, this is a beautiful world, it's a beautiful day, I love my life, I love Stanford, and I wish that was all that I had to report. That takes me about, I don't know, 3 or 4 blocks. And then, as my walk goes on, I see my neighbor's house, and I think, you know, I really wish I had a porch like that one. I cannot believe I can't get my flowers to bloom like this person's blooming over here. I could really use that extra bedroom. And then sometimes my mind wanders to that shame script. Maybe y'all don't have this, but I do, that shame script in my head. Megan, if you were a person who could stay focused, maybe you'd be done with that report you were supposed to do. You know, you forgot 8 things yesterday, Megan, and now you're already behind. Run home right now. Get started. You're already late. Maybe if you had gotten up a little earlier, Megan, you would have had time to go a little farther. You know, you're not getting any faster these days. You've abandoned your children and your husband. They've got to figure out breakfast on their own. What kind of mother is that, right? This is what's going through my head as my walk goes on and on. Now, I've become more aware of it now, where my attention and my heart are turned, the message that I'm mulling over. But it is hard to keep my mind and my soul where I want them to be, on God. Because the truth is that we are people oriented to worship something. And without practice and without God's intervention, it's really easy to worship ourselves or productivity, that stuff we really want, or even the shame that runs through our minds all the time. It's really easy to turn my attention or energy or heart towards something or someone, but it is hard to keep my attention and energy and heart on God. The first scripture that we read today is a scripture that our Jewish brothers and sisters in the faith call the Shema. It's a statement of faith. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Love God with all your heart and soul and strength. Write it on your heart. The passage goes on to say, essentially, tell your children, don't forget it. Write it on your hand, write it on your doorway, put a reminder in your pocket, carry it around all the time. And when we hear that, it might sound like overkill, right? Okay, we get it. The Lord our God, the Lord alone. Love your God with all your heart and soul. Okay, we get it, right? But what we know is that God is regularly trying to get our attention, and we are often distracted. We need a reminder that God is God and that nothing else is. If I can't make it on a 30-minute walk without needing reminders, maybe God's on to something. Maybe we do need it here and here and in our pocket and on our forehead and always reminding us. We live in an utterly distracted and distractible world, and everything wants our attention all the time. Have you ever maybe opened a phone or a computer to do homework or to work on something, and then you're like, oh, I got this notification. What's this news story about? And then suddenly you're like way over here, and you're like, I'm supposed to be doing math homework. It's so easy to get distracted by all the other messages in our world instead of hearing the message our soul needs the most. God is God, and we are not. We are God's beloved. This world is meant to be a place of love and hope, and we can help make that happen. You see, worship, giving our devotion and our time and our attention and our priorities and lives to God, it's as much about us as it is about God. God doesn't need our praise and devotion, but me? I am gonna worship something. And I've learned that if it's anything other than God, my life doesn't work. I can love my husband and my shoes and my neighbor's house and Taco Tuesday. But none of those things is God. None of those things created me and knew me before I was born. None of those things can heal my soul and the wounds I didn't even know that I had. None of those things put on flesh and showed up to the neighborhood when we needed rescuing. I need to be reminded that God is God and I am not, and what a relief that is. That's why, despite my family's occasional grumbling, we keep showing up to church even when we're on vacation and nobody knows that we're pastors. Because if I go too long, my life and my priorities, they get out of whack. That's why folks have created worship practices over centuries and millennia, because they have known that we need intentional time to get our lives and our priorities and our hearts back in alignment with the God who created us and loved us and already knew us before we knew God. Get our attention in the right place. Now, I love that second scripture that Sloan read for us, that text where Jesus goes to the Pharisee's house to eat dinner and he's tricky. One of my favorite things about Jesus is that he is always surprising us. And I want to know, did you notice that he shows up to dinner and he kind of tricks the Pharisees at the meal? He goes to this dude's house. This guy is the leader of the Pharisees. He's like the robiest of robes, okay? He is like, he knows all the rules. This is the leader of the religious leaders on the Sabbath. The Sabbath was a holy day. The Sabbath was the most important day. This is the holiest of moments and places, right? Where they could have this conversation. There's a ritual practice of resting from work on the Sabbath because God commanded them to do so. So there they are, following God's rules. Now Jesus shows up to dinner, and he knows that these guys are already watching him to see if he's causing any problems or breaking any rules. Another man shows up with edema, which is such a hard, like, it's like swelling. We don't know what it is, but he's sick. Clearly, he's not doing well. And Jesus looks over at them, and he says, "So what should I do, guys? Should I heal him right now? Because he's suffering. Or should I stick to the rules that say, don't do any work?" Which one honors God more? What would you do if your child or your animal fell into a well? Would you just leave them there until the next day? This random friend, sick and looking for healing, is a beloved child of God. Wouldn't you heal your child even on the Sabbath? The scripture tells us so much about what it means to worship. Of course, these folks would have been all into worship services. It's what they did. And they would have known the scriptures. But Jesus is exposing here this very powerful truth, that to honor God with your life, to turn your attention toward God's priorities and heart, isn't just about knowing the right rules or attending all the services with your religious friends. Jesus' life was an act of worship, an offering of all he was to the flourishing of God's kingdom. And what does he do? He pushes the Pharisees to see that the practices of worshiping God are not just our words. It's our life. We show up to church to be reminded of God's goodness and God's kingdom and God's call. And I need it too. I know I have this thing on, but I'm telling you, like, I make it to Wednesday and I need a reminder. Then we leave church and we live a life of worship because it's part of our practicing that God is God. We live worship because it's part of our practicing that our hearts and our attention are on God's mission and priorities. Okay, there's this magazine. It's called Nature and Neuroscience. I do not have a subscription. I'm not that smart. But I found, it came out of Brown University, this really cool study that was talking about how we learn habits. And one of the things that it said, as we wanted to learn a new skill, as we wanted to focus on something new, it said we have to overlearn in order to cement that thing in our memory. So let's say you want to learn how to sew or crochet or shoot a three-pointer like Steph Curry. Okay, you want to do that. You have to overlearn and practice. Here's what it says. Brown University study in which people learned visual perception tasks suggests that you should keep practicing for a little while, even after you think you've already got it. You can't get any better. When people learn a new task, and then learn something else afterward, the second instance of learning can interfere with the first. Here's what it says. When you go to learn something new, even if you think, all right, I got this down, I've done it, I have perfected it, as soon as you leave that task, you're going to go hear something else. Somebody is going to teach you something else, and that new learning can distract from the first thing you thought you already had mastered. Let me tell you, the moment you leave this sanctuary, other messages are going to follow you. Other people want to teach you things and make you want to buy things and make you participate in other things. That message that God has for you can get drowned out. We got to overlearn. We got to overpractice. We got to keep coming back to this act of worship. As soon as you leave here, you might begin to hear those same messages we talked about before. Maybe you've got a lot of people around you reminding you you're a child of God and that you're good, and I love that. Keep those messages close. But you're also going to go back to hearing, like, you need to buy this stuff. Your tennis shoes aren't cool enough. Carbs are good, carbs are bad. Short socks are cringe. Wait, is that right? Yes, I'm a millennial, so I still wear short socks. I'm sorry. Short socks are cringe, tall socks are cool. That I should be taller and smarter and richer. That I should have done this cool thing with my hair, right? That I should be angry all the time. But how come you keep being angry all the time? There's so much that we hear from the internet, from our world, from our community. The world has a million messages that it wants you to hear. And those messages can drown out what we need to hear the most, even when we've heard God clearly. God is good. God is God. And we are not. You are already God's beloved. Our world is meant to be a place of love and hope, and we can help make that happen. God is inviting us to resilient faith. God is inviting us to a people, to becoming people who have a firm foundation, who can know what's most true about us and about God. And in worship, we can be reminded to turn our hearts, our lives, our priorities, and our minds toward God's kingdom. Let us build a resilient faith. Let's pray. Holy God, we thank you for the gift of being a God who knows what we need, for being a God who reminds us when we need to hear it most, that you are God, that we are your beloved, and that this world can be filled with love and hope. Jesus, we ask that as we leave here today, you would help us to be people who live lives of worship, and who hear the message that is most true from you. Amen.
If y'all would like to stand and join us in worship. Your name
can we just celebrate what a gift Spark Worship is? Thank you so much for being here. And now, friends, go forth living a life of worship. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace this day and forevermore. Amen.